Happy Friday and welcome to Minute 85 of the Great Escape Minute, the daily podcast where we dig into the Great Escape 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me to finish off the week, as he has all week, is Brian Lockhart from the Marine Corps Movie Minute. Welcome back, Brian.
Hey, thanks. You haven't kicked me out yet, so I'm still here.
Unfortunately, you're a little too drunk, so I had to take away your keys.
I'm half in the bag. I got to go get in my bag and go to sleep. Sleep it off.
Exactly. So minute 85 begins with Mac giving his opinion of the booze and goes all the way until Ramsay inquiring about the colonies. So once again, we continue the conversation between the characters from yesterday where they're all discussing the booze, you know, the moonshine that these three Americans have decided to, enjoy. You know, Roger had his sip yesterday and basically said that he's never had anything more extraordinary since he's been captured. And Mac starts off by saying, oh, it's shattering. Roger said it's shattering. So then right, Mac goes, shattering. Well, I think it's rather good.
Which I think is great because they're all like trying to be polite about it or not be polite. They're trying not to criticize it, but they're basically saying it's, you can tell they don't like it. So then to follow it up with, I think it's great.
Yeah. I mean, they don't like it, but again, they're saying this is better than nothing.
Yeah, for sure. Now, at the way when I was watching the minutes kind of broken down, I honestly thought that Roger said it was shat. And I thought I was like, oh, he's just Britishly, swearing. And then I forgot that it was like, it's shattering. But so then I went on this whole thing about like, oh, that's hilarious. He thinks it's shat. And I'm like, wow, I'm surprised they kind of used that language in this movie, just all that. And then I was like, oh, I just had to, pay attention to what I was actually looking at. And it's shattering.
Exactly. And what's funny is that you see Mac then taking another swig, and it takes a long swig. He doesn't have that much. They didn't give him that much.
There's a lot of pantomiming going on here with the drinking.
Yeah, no question about it. And then, Mac continues and he goes, well, with your permission, sir, I think I'll all on Kive. Now, when I heard him say this, I started doing a search on the internet for what.
Okay, so you're not the only idiot who did it.
And
I know. I did the same thing. I'm like, what the hell? I mean, this has got to be a British thing. It's got to be a British thing. And I'm like,
exactly. I couldn't figure out what is Kive.
And Google kept telling me knives, and I would just say Great Escape, and it would like, and it would do. And I'm like, finally, I don't know what I did, and I found it. And then I was like, oh, it's him just being drunk, and he's saying, call on Ives. and then I felt like such an idiot because I spent all this time trying to figure out what the hell a Kive was. Like, what is this?
Exactly. You see, well, we're
don't know how relieved I was to hear that you said that because I'm going to find out what this means. I was determined and I just, I was like, oh, it's just, he's drunk and he slurred his speech basically.
Exactly. So yeah, no, that's just really funny because, like, again, I spent too much time looking for that also. But even if this is really potent moonshine, my assumption is that no one's going to get drunk within minutes,
yeah,
or seconds even.
It went straight to his brain, like there's no way.
Yeah, this doesn't really doesn't make that.
No, but it's still a fun little bit,
But well, especially since it made both of us go and try and figure out what a Kive is. What's a Kive? he basically is saying he's going to go call on Ives. What happens right after that is hilarious because then you have both Roger and Ramsay look at each other in a very strange way, and they look at the booze also. Maybe they're questioning how did he get drunk so quickly. He's meant to be Scottish. Our Scots are known for being able to drink, aren't they? Yeah. Apparently not Mac. Because he's all on Kive. Then we see a shot again of the entire group of prisoners. You can see some of the more prominent ones standing around there also. They're all toasting Henley. And, you got Cavendish there, and you got Sedgwick, and you got Nemo, And what they, it's interesting. We discussed this earlier in the week.
You don't. I was just about to say that. I was specifically looking for Danny because I like Charles Bronson, and I was like, and how we talked about it earlier. Yeah, he's not. I don't see them. He's not here. I paused it, and he's just, it's just a crowded. You know, Charles Bronson was a pretty big star. Maybe he was just like, I'm not showing up to set this day. You don't need me. I don't need to be in the crowd shots. Yeah.
Quite possibly. Or maybe he was chasing after Jill Ireland that day.
Yeah, no, I saw a little thing. I did not realize this, that, but at one point in the 70s, Charles Bronson was the number one draw. Like, he was the highest paid actor. He commanded like $1 million a film, which I think was pretty rare back then. So
Yeah. I mean, that had to do with Death Wish. You know, he had some great roles in the 60s. There's no question about that. I mean, you got this movie. You have him in The Dirty Dozen. You had him in Magnificent Seven. You had him in Once Upon a Time in the West. I think there's a few others that he was in at the time that were, you know, great films.
He's not like the star of any of them, but he is maybe The Dirty Dozen. He's kind of number two behind Lee Marvin, but that still was an ensemble film. He has one of the bigger roles in it, but yeah, he always just seems to be kind of in these movies and not like the main focus. But my personal opinion, he's great in every one of them, except for Once Upon a Time in the West. That's pretty much his movie, right? I've only seen bits and pieces of that. I actually own it, and I have yet to watch all of it because it's like 10 hours long. No, I know it's not that long.
Quite. it makes me curious to know which movie is longer, that or this movie. Because this movie is 172 minutes. Once Upon a Time in the West is... Nope, it's 5 minutes. It's 6 minutes shorter.
Really?
This movie.
Yes. Oh, see, now...
It's only 166 minutes.
Oh, wow. I know the runtime of this movie, I look at it and it's long. It does not feel long. Although there was one scene when I was watching it on Amazon, and I'm like, oh, they're gonna go to, it's one of these old classic films that goes to intermission. And I felt like it was about to, and it didn't. So I was like, oh, okay. I forget what scene it was, but it was probably about the halfway point. And then, you know, I know films used to do that, especially if they went a little too long, but like some of the Bible epics, but.
And Lawrence of Arabia. I mean, you had a lot of movies in the 60s. They did, where they, you know, especially ones that had prominent music, which this movie does also. But they would use that to have, you know, they have entrant, I think it's called, you know, where they play the music at the beginning and the other music at the end, and then you have the intermission where they play the music.
Yeah.
You'd think that they would have done that with this also, because of the fact that Bernstein's music is just amazing.
It's very prominent.
Yeah, you know, they would use that to. You use that to highlight.
Yeah, for sure. It's a big part of the movie. I definitely think it helps propel the movie. I think I mentioned earlier this week that I think it helps with the feeling that it's not as long as it really is. It's just like these little ditties throughout the whole movie, but it's it can be pretty epic too. I don't pay attention to it as much more in the. Maybe some of the more somber scenes, but you know, I do like the big bombastic kind of main theme. Again, I think it's kind of lighthearted actually, and maybe that's why I like it. It's upbeat.
Right.
You're in for kind of an adventure.
Definitely, it's. I've mentioned this numerous times. It's pretty much a heist movie.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, the way that it's played, and the music helps with
that's
that
a good point. It's not, I mean, yes, it is a war film, but you're right. It's well, it's like a prison escape film, but it's a heist. It's all about the planning, and then we get hopefully the satisfaction of the execution of it. And that was not a pun.
Correct. So at this point, Henley moves through the crowd. Everyone toasting him. He sits down next to Colin. They toast each other. And then this is a very interesting conversation between the two of them, because Henley says, you know what this is? And at this point, you know, you're listening and you're like, okay, he's actually going to explain to us what it is that they've done. You know, not just to say this is potato vodka, you know, like maybe give us something a little more. And then Collins' response is just so matter-of-factly. He goes, well, I can tell you what it is. It's.
Right. And
it's no Napoleon right. Brandy.
Now, I didn't know much about Napoleon Brandy, but I looked it up, and it just, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, if you happen to know, but I think Napoleon Brandy just means it's been aged a little bit longer than normal brandy. It has to be aged like 6 years.
It's cognac.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. They were talking about cognac when I was reading about it. And it's aged longer or something like that, so.
Right. I mean, some of I was looking up it's... You know, they still have brand or cognac, Napoleon cognac from 1812.
Oh, wow.
Which is now worth, you know, close to $300,000.
Wow. I'd drink to that.
Yeah, but you would. But if you spent $300,000 on it, you're not going to be drinking to it.
Exactly. Unless it's Brute.
Well, actually, you'll be drinking to it, but you won't be drinking right, from
correct.
It.
Correct. Unless it's Brewster's Million and I have to spend $1 billion, you know, $1 million before a certain time, but I can't have anything to show for it. So I could buy the brandy, I could drink it, and now it's worthless, and I've spent money.
Right.
I'm thinking here.
There you go. You see, movies are so helpful. I love Brewster's Millions. It's and the Richard Pryor version is still better than the original because it was made like 5 or 6 times, but his is still my favorite. It's just done so well. Yeah. Then Henley looks at him and just stares at him for a second.
Yeah.
When he's saying, he's like, what the hell are you talking about? And he just like squints at him. Like, be happy with what you got. You know?
Right.
We're not going to get any Napoleon brandy here.
Yeah, well, he does kind of laugh at his thing, but then he's like, yeah, are you serious? Like, really?
How long have you been in the band?
Right.
You know, seriously. And then we cut to another scene with Pilz walking up to Ramsey and Roger. And he goes, you know, he's pandering a little bit and says, so how do you like it, sir?
Yeah.
And the response is, well, it's... Roger starts saying that he doesn't really... This is the first time in the entire movie that Roger, played by Richard Attenborough, is at a loss of words. Throughout the entire movie, he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's saying. Everything is planned accordingly. Everything is set to a schedule. Everything. This is the first time that he's like, I don't know what to tell you about this.
He wants to be polite, but he doesn't want to tell him it's shattering.
Exactly. So then you get the response from Ramsey to the colonies.
Which is a great save. It's a great save because neither one of them want to say it's terrible, but they appreciate the effort and to be polite, that he changes the subject and toasts to the colonies.
That's right. To the colonies, independence, and all three of them still have enough to drink from. Now, did you notice what Roger's cup looks like?
Let me double check here. It looks like a coffee cup to me. No, not Roger's. No, Roger. Yeah, Roger has a basically. Yeah, Roger
no, Ramsey has a coffee cup.
Like a camping cooking pot, you know? Yeah.
A frying pan.
Yeah, I noticed that earlier he had it, and when he was filling it up, and it was kind of spilling all over, it was sloshing. And then, yeah, they pretty much used whatever they had. They had 600 guys, so they had to give booze to.
No, but what's interesting is if you look in contrast to what Ramsey's holding, Ramsey really does look like he's holding... It doesn't even look like a tin cup, does it?
No, it looks like a full-on coffee cup, like...
Exactly. Like where the hell did you get a coffee cup?
Yeah, Hilt has the, you know, traditional canteen that, like, the canteen coffee cup you would see in every war film. Like, you know, that was a service, you know, that was what you got. But, no, that's a full-on regular coffee cup. Well, you know, he's in charge, you know. Rank has benefits, you know?
Yes, it does. Apparently he has his little office with a little coffee cup.
Yep.
So that's just really funny to notice that's what they're drinking from. Ramsey then says, so how are you guys managing over there without us?
That's what I was laughing.
Getting along all right, are you?
Yeah, and I'm disappointed we don't get the response. You know, that's next week. You know, so I need to know how the Americans doing without the British people. You know, I'm dying to know.
Especially after 168 years.
So it's. I like that little bit because it's like it's clear that he has, they have nothing in common, you know, as far as they don't, he doesn't know what to say to him. I was wondering how much Hiltz actually interacted with these guys, you know, at this point, because it's like, they know who he is, obviously. They all know who each other are. They obviously are, you know, one's an American and the other two are British officers. But I am curious as to, like, how often do they interact? Because they do kind of seem like they don't have anything to say other than, well, this, because he's coming up. Well, how are you doing?
Exactly. No, I don't think they have much in common besides the fact that they're all pilots and stuff like that, and that they're trying to get out. There are very few scenes where you have them all together, Ramsey, Roger, and Hiltz. And most of the time, it's they're questioning him as to, you know, what his plan is to get out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because at first, it seems like it's like he's doing his own program, and they're kind of like, well, you need to get in line with us at first, you know. But I do like that he says, "Getting along, are you?" Like, it's just like, yeah, we think you're doing fine. Is this true? Is this true?
A little chit chat. That's what it is. They're trying to.
Yeah. They're just. Obviously, they can't talk about the escape plans. That's not great. They want to have that out in the open like that. No. This is not the time to have that conversation. Again, he's a lower rank. You know, yes, they're all pilots, but you know these guys are higher rank and all that. So it is. It's again, he's just one of the troops.
Right.
You know. Plus, and then you got the whole, you know, the fact that one's an American, one's British. They don't have as much in common as far as normal everyday chit chat, other than, hey, and of course it's in line with this whole, you know, up the rebels, down the British, you know, kind of 4th of July party. So he's like, doing okay over there, are you?
So we've been discussing this movie in depth all week, and I've forgotten to ask you, you know, what'd you tell everyone your history with this movie? You know, when did you first hear it? When did you see it? You know, why do you like it so much? I mean, obviously, you only got to talk about, you know, these five brief minutes throughout the movie, but maybe you have something else you want to tell everyone about your experience with the movie or your thoughts about different aspects of the film.
I mean, I've kind of hinted at some of it throughout, you know, the week, of just that I enjoy it as far as that. And it you know, I find it, it's one of those, inspirational is a little corny, but it's kind of an inspirational movie. I said that, you know, it gets tense at the end. I'm fascinated with the fact that this really happened. The movie does a good job of giving you an entertaining movie, but still being close to what really happened.
Mm-hmm.
As far as this movie, I mean, I had seen the Steve McQueen motorcycle bit at some point in my life. It's one of those clips that just kind of got shown over and over again as a kid. So I was aware of it. But I think where I first even realized what The Great Escape was is when I watched Top Secret with Val Kilmer. And he does a bit with a motorcycle. Yes. And I remember, I think, because my uncle, you know, like, showed us all that one time. And he was like, I think he said, like, yeah, that's The Great Escape right there. And I'm like, oh. So getting a little bit older, my dad used to kind of, we would go to the library and get movies free. And they were always older movies on VHS. And one of the things he said is, like, every once in a while, he'd be like, hey, have you ever seen this movie? And he'd make me go watch it. And one of them was Great Escape. He's like, you will like this movie. And he was right. I like this movie. So, you know, I was probably in high school when I saw it first time. And it's just one of those when it's Memorial Day, when it's Veterans Day, and it shows up on AMC and I'm flipping through or something like that. And I'm like, oh, here's Great Escape. I'll watch, you know, I'll leave it on while I'm doing stuff. Or I'll watch it, or you know, I'll watch it from that point on, or whatever. But it's not what I routinely seek out. But it's just one of those movies where if it's on, I'm gonna leave it on at the very mm-hmm. least. And I'd spent a little while since I watched it, so when knowing that I was gonna come on and talk about it for a little bit, because it gave me an excuse to sit down and watch it. And you know, I'm talking, as I said, I'm like walking around my house humming the theme song for like a week, you know, and to much to everybody's chagrin. But yeah, I mean, it's a great movie. I love the all-star cast. I love, you know, most of the people in this. I've already said, you know, I'm a Charles Bronson fan. I like James Garner. I've never been a huge Steve McQueen fan, but he's great in this. And it's not that I have anything against him. I just am not as familiar with his movies as, you know, James Garner. I mean, I love Donald Pleasance. You know, he's like, he's just great. Like, this is such a good movie. In fact, I was trying to explain to my son that, hey, you know that, you know, the old guy from Jurassic Park? Well, he's in this movie. You know? trying to make it like relevant to them in any sort of way, you know? but it's, I mean, it's just a great movie. I think everybody should watch it at least at some point. Specifically, too, because of knowing that, you know, knowing what happens and knowing that this really happened, it's fascinating. Yeah. It's one of those great stories of like never giving up, you know, like this is movie worthy, you know, this is worth highlighting on film, the story, what happened. Not, I mean, there's so many stories that are, but this is just, I don't know. It's fascinating, you know,
or just doing a movies by minute podcast.
Oh, there you go. You know, there you go.
that's also an option.
Yeah.
All right. Well, do you have anything else you want to say about this minute or the movie in general?
No, but I will just add that you know, one of the reasons for liking this interaction, besides, you know, some of the meta humor that goes along with it, is, you know, I was in the Marine Corps. That's why I do the Marine Corps Movie Minute. When I first got to my first active duty station, I checked in on a Friday, and so I had to, you know, I had to wait, you know, 2 days to check in to my command. And they apparently were doing a joint operation exercise with some Royal Marines. And they were there staying at the base I was at. And they put them all up in the temporary barracks where I was staying. So I roomed with a British Marine that night, a Royal Marine. But little did I know they were leaving the next day. And they had the biggest drunken party that night. And, you know, here I am, 18 years old, you know, just getting to my first duty station. Here's these like manly, you know, British, you know, men, you know, who've been Marines for a while. And they're like, hey, come on out, chap, you know, you're coming down, drink. And I'm like, getting plastered with you guys is probably not the best impression I should be making, you know, underage drinking. Exactly. Before I even check in. So I was like, thanks, I appreciate it. And I just remember checking it, you know, kind of checking in on them throughout the night, you know, just as they were partying. And I'm like, it just more and more people falling asleep outside and passing out and then just waking up to see the chaos the next morning. But like I said, they were awesome. They were super, you know, they were just like, hey, come party with us. Come hang out with us. They, you know, they're like, come on. And I always think of that fondly. And then so seeing this kind of is like the little interaction between, you know, service members and of people of other from different armies, you know, different militaries. I like this aspect of it.
Cool.
That's all I got.
Well, yeah. Thank you once again for taking part this week. It's been a really fun week.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right. So why don't you once again tell people how they can get in touch with you?
Well, all week long, I've been discussing the Marine Corps Movie Minute podcast, where I've already done Heartbreak Ridge 1 minute at a time. Hopefully, by the time this airs, I will at least be recording Full Metal Minute, as I'm going to call it. I'm going to do Full Metal Jacket for season 2. But what should also be on the air, I haven't mentioned it at all, is the Marvel Events Timeline podcast that I'm doing with Travis Bowe from Watchmen Minute and Real Comic Heroes. We are in the process, as of this recording, of we've already recorded a few episodes, so we should be up and running by the time this airs. So if anybody is interested in Marvel Comics and wants to go through the history of it with us, we are the Marvel Events Timeline Podcast, and our social media is Marvel Events Pod. And that's on across all the social medias. And hope to see you there. Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of fun. So while you're doing that, you can go rate, review, and subscribe on any podcatcher that you might be using to listen to the show. You can visit our website, thegreatescapeminute.com. Our Twitter handle is greatescapemxm. Our Facebook group is The Cooler. And you can send us an email at thegreatminute@gmail.com. So hopefully you'll all be back on Monday, where we will tackle the halfway point of this movie. We're halfway there. hopefully everyone will be back on the Monday to listen again when we have another great guest lined up. Until Monday, tally-ho.
Tally-ho.